Does anybody know what day today is?
Sunday.
Yeah. Anything else? July 21st? What if I said it was Thanksgiving? Would you guys believe me?
No.
Well, it is July 21st, so you're right on that. But I'm just going to say today's Thanksgiving, but not really, but I'm going to use the word thanks. So what is one thing that you're thankful for today? Jaden, do you have anything that you're thankful for?
Being here.
I'm thankful for my family. Aiden, do you have anything that you're thankful for?
No.
What about your bike? Are you thankful for your bike? That you can ride your bike? Yeah? A bike? Okay. Do you have anything that you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for my mom and the family she gave me.
That's awesome. Thank you. Are you thankful for anything? Playing with her toys, and her toys, great. Will, what about you? Are you thankful for anything today? Yeah.
So much.
Too much. That you have an Xbox? I don't know. Maybe you want to know. Okay. Well, I'm sure you can think of something. What if you woke up one day, let's say today, and the only thing that you had were the things that you prayed for about today or yesterday? So, like, if I prayed for my family, I'm thankful for my family, and I thank God for them. What if you woke up and there were no toilets? Are we thankful for toilets?
Yes.
What if there was no carpet? Did you pray about, I thank God that there's no carpet? That would be, right? The little things that we can think about.
Oh, there's no carpet.
Well, what if we woke up, we didn't pray about that and say, oh, there's no carpet. But God, we are luckily that we have that and that we are. So I want you to think about things that you can be thankful for, little things in your life, whether it's, oh my, praying, thank God that we have the sun, I have my life, I have the carpet, we have toilets, right? That's a great thing to be thankful for. So let's thank God for all the blessings we have, not just the ones that we love, because we're thankful for our family. Yes, do you have some?
Xbox
and TVs, that's it. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for these kids, and let them know that they are always loved and cared for, and let them be thankful for their lives and their families and the small things in life that we have. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't usually give you notes, right? But today, I just have some things where I happen to be able to scribble on or write down something that strikes you. So I'm going to pass my gun to Jim there. Thank you. Find most yourselves. There you go. All right. Yeah, I don't need to use. Don't bring your hand yet. Close enough. Don't bring your hand.
That's cheating.
Too late.
Too late. All right. Yeah, I don't usually hand out notes. It's pretty rare. But I wanted you to have a chance to scribble something down, or if you want to, you know, disagree with me about something, you could make a note about it. We could talk about it later. Yeah. We've spent a lot of time in the book of Colossians lately. We are at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And we have been talking about what it is to be in relationship with Christ. Paul's talking about letting go of the rules that had guided the Jewish people, everybody before, and instead we're going to move into relationship. And we're going to let relationship guide how we choose to act. We are saying, love God and do whatever you want, but love God is first, and that will guide your want, what you do. Last week we went to the passage that was throw off human rules and engage with God. Paul's saying, don't start following, go back into all those rules. Don't eat that. Don't touch that. Don't wear that. We're going to set those aside. We're going to set aside the you musts. You must observe this holy day. You must be at this church event. We're going to get rid of the don'ts and the you musts, and we're going to focus on relationship. Keeping rules is no longer going to equal holiness. Your devotion to God is not going to be shown by the list of the things that you do. Paul wants to remind those believers in Colossae that they do not need to go back to that former lifestyle. And that as pious as these rules can seem, they're not going to help you. And so we talked last week with the word balance. That's what we're striving for, is balance. The balance between relationship and behavior, because they're so intertwined. They go together. Paul's writing the words that are given to him by the Holy Spirit. You need to know that every word in your Bible are God's words. And when you say, well, I don't think I agree with Paul and all that, it's not Paul you're arguing with. Go a little higher. Every word Paul writes is what the Holy Spirit asks him to write. So we are in Colossians. We're in chapter 3. And if you don't have your Bible open, I'm going to give you a chance to open it to there, if you can find one of the pew Bibles, because we're going to go through that kind of slowly today in this passage, Colossians. And if you need to know where to find it, there's an index, or look up on our chart. We're in Colossians, and we're up to chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 3 today. And here we go. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. There are a number of things that God brought to mind when I was going through this passage over the last couple of weeks. And I was riding in the car, as you know, we were road tripping with my in-laws, and Mom and I sat in the back seat and had a lot of time to watch the world go by. And she had her study, and I had my study, and I was reading through this, and a lot of time to kind of consider some things. And I came to two things that really stuck out to me. First of all, loving someone means we find joy in getting to know the other's likes and dislikes, what they love and what they hate, what makes them smile and what makes them sad. Is that not the foundation of a relationship? Do you remember when you first fell in love, or you first found a new friend and you couldn't wait to get to know them? And the better friends you became, the more you wanted to know what they liked and didn't like. Because relationship is that, isn't it? Loving and honoring and respecting each other. And so the statement, love God and do what you want, is the statement that starts with the words, love God. That's Jesus' command. The law could be summed up in two sentences. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, Mark 12 tells us. All I've got. The second thing I learned is it's easy, the more I thought about this, as I get older, to begin the behavior of minimalizing or rationalizing some of the things that I do, my behavior or my choices. I become more mature. I don't do those things anymore. Well, at least not very often, right? And I read through that list and go, nope, not me, not me, not me. Ding, done. Moving on. And the truth is, we have an extraordinary ability as humans to rationalize. And if you don't believe me, you need to turn on your TV and watch an episode of Cops and watch them pull somebody over and try and hold them accountable. And here comes the list of excuses. Oh, my stars. You just get like, really? And sometimes I wonder if God listens to us and goes like, really? You know, He loves us anyway. But we need to be careful that when we go through some of these passages, we just don't go, well, not me. and move on. The other thing I want you to remember, and we've talked about this often, is that what Paul is writing to these people are words that the Holy Spirit has given him, and he's writing to them in their language. They're writing to them in Greek. And we're going to dig around in that a little bit more, because sometimes the Greek word has a whole lot more depth and nuances to it that we don't know because we don't speak Greek. It's all Greek to me. Right? So let's dig in there a little bit, because sometimes when you dig in a little bit, you discover that it might actually be poking at you just a little bit. There might be some things I need to consider and yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to start in Colossians 3, verse 3. You may now look at your notes. Life. Verse 3. For when you died to this life, right? You died in this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And that word life just means all life. The physical, temporal things, as well as the spiritual, future. When Paul uses the word life, he means all-encompassing, your whole life, your spiritual life, your physical life, all of it. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. What really matters is going to be safe for eternity, right? All right, so here we go. We're going to move through these verses. Ready? So, put to death the sinful earthly things looking within you. Put to death. Oh, I like that phrase. Ding. Put it to death. Done. Moving on. Nope. Let's think about it. The word death, when he says put to death, the concept is I deprive it of life-energizing power. I view that as a corpse. It is dead. I deprive it of life-energizing power. We've used that phrase before. Which dog are you feeding? I have two dogs. I'm going to use that word, okay? Two dogs, right? I have one that wants to do what's right and one that wants to do what's wrong. Which dog am I feeding? And I have to ask myself that question. Some of the things that I do may not be wrong in and of themselves, but they may, when I do them, be feeding the wrong dog. If I'm going to put to death, if I'm going to deprive the life-energizing power that habit needs, if I'm going to deprive it of that power, I'm going to put it to death. It isn't just, I'm trying. I'm going to deprive it of the power it needs to keep growing. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like for me. And it will be different between us. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Boy, we're a culture where those lines are extraordinarily blurred, are they not? Let me tell you what Scripture says. Scripture says that any physical relations outside of a husband and wife is immorality. All right? Jesus took it a step further. If you're thinking you're really holy, ding, oh, did that. I'm good. Jesus took it a step further and he said, if you look at someone with lust in your heart, immorality. Because it isn't just my actions. Remember, it's my heart. We're putting those two together. Where is my heart? And if I'm doing something that is feeding that dog, even if it's just inward and not an outward behavior, I need to give that some thought. The word for immorality is porneia. It's the word we get pornography from. And it refers to surrendering your sexual purity in any way, shape, or form. Any kind of promiscuity. We're going to have nothing to do with that. We're going to have nothing to do with impurity. And that just means something that's blended. The Greek word is blended. Something clean, something not clean. We've mixed them up. Now it's not pure. Right? You ever had, you're trying to keep that shirt white? You're going to grab a bite to eat before you head out the door. And it only has one spot of chocolate. One spot of chocolate on the whole entire shirt. Now it's mixed. Now it's impure. It isn't pure anymore. It doesn't take much to make it impure. Lust. Have nothing to do with lust. And the word is pathos. Having strong, raw feelings and emotions that are not guided by God. It's not wrong to have strong feelings or a passion about something. He's talking about those that are not guided by God. Because sometimes my emotions and my passions can get wound up and I'm just running down the wrong path. Lust. things that are strong feelings and emotions that are not guided by God. Have nothing to do with evil desires. And that word desires again has that feeling of eagerness, passionate longing, an inordinate desire. It's a passion built on strong feeling. And the word itself, desires, is neither good nor bad. It's the word he puts with it, which is evil desires. We have good desires and we have desires that aren't so good, right? Positive, Mother Teresa, a passionate, an inordinate passion to care for the poor. A strong, passionate longing to care. Good. There are a lot of passions that go the other way, are there not? Evil desires. Positive, guided by God. Negative, evil. Bad, the word is just bad in the widest sense you can think of. Not guided by God. We're going to move on. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. We hear that word idolatry and we think, "Woo, ding, doesn't apply to me. Done. I don't have an idol in my room. I'm not worshiping a little statue. I'm good. Moving on." But Paul writes that idolatry is any time you are greedy for the things of this world. Not greedy for what's to come, greedy for the things of this world. And if I'm greedy for what's happening here, that's idolatry, because I'm putting something else ahead of Christ. And anytime I put something else ahead of Christ, we're venturing into idolatry. Squirming a little bit yet? I was. We'll keep going. Greed. That word is covetousness. Encompasses aggression, a desire for advantage. The word avarice, it's a word you may have heard, but we don't use it really often, but it means extreme greed for wealth or material. I forgot the M there. Sorry, fill it in yourself. Material gain. It's a desire for a greater number of temporal things. And when we get on that path of I need more, that path, folks, is never, never ending. Greedy. Idolatry, greed for the things of this life. Am I focused here or is my focus up there? Remember the verses before that, Paul said, think of the things of heaven, not about the things of earth. I'm going to keep my greed in check. I'm going to not give it any life-energizing power. I'm not going to be greedy for the things here. Because of these sins, Paul says, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. God's anger. There are two ways anger is used, all right? In the Greek, anger, there's the impulsive wrath, that rush. You felt that before? Rush along, getting heated up. It even encompasses breathing violently. When they tell you to count to 10, there's a reason. I need to get my breathing back in control. It's an impulsive anger. God's anger is a steadfast and intense opposition to sin. You see the difference between holy anger and my impulsive anger? I can have holy anger if I have an intense opposition to sin that is inside me. I am not going to go there. That is not what God would want. My impulsive anger is like, ding, you know? Oh, yeah? Done that? You're going down. Yeah. Yeah, anger. My anger versus God's anger. And God's anger is coming to the world for those things that he just talked about. Paul's going to get more specific with you, but now is the time to get rid of that anger. Rage. Rage is a personal venting of your anger. Malicious behavior. Malicious is the internal principle of evil, even if it's not outwardly expressed. Well, I'm not running around doing bad things. I'm clear. Ding. Off the list. Nope. Is it internal? We need to surrender that to the Holy Spirit. Slander. We use the word slander a little differently. We use it like, I said something bad about you. But that's not exactly what the Greek word encompasses. It's the word blasphemia. Blaspheme. Slow, it encompasses the term slow and sluggish. I am slow to call good good and I am slow to say that's evil, I'll leave it alone. I'm not doing something bad. I'm just slow to get to what's right. It also encompasses calling what God disapproves of as right. I'm exchanging God's truth, what he says, for lies. It's switching right for wrong. That's slander. I'm speaking against God's truth. I'm not honoring what he says. Maybe it's because I'm not willing to learn it. Maybe it's because I'm just want to do my own thing. Whatever it is, slander is exchanging God's truth and believing something else. Well, I don't always agree with Paul about that. Okay, well, you know, good luck. Yeah. And Paul says, and dirty language. And dirty language is just what you think it means. Filthy communication, obscene language. Paul says, don't let that come out of your mouth. Don't lie to each other. Well, that's a given, right? For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Don't lie to each other. Now, there's a balance. Let's do the balance again, shall we? I don't lie. That doesn't mean I get around spouting off anything I want to say, right? What was Paul's instructions to Corinthians? You can speak the truth, but only in love. So I'm going to speak truth, but it doesn't always need to be said, does it? We have to balance that. Am I speaking truth in love? And don't lie. We have to balance those out, don't we? And stripped off means to completely divest. The word is apekdu amahi. And apek are two prefixes. And when you double a prefix there in that Greek word, it means it shows greater depth. It's like us saying never, never, never. Do you remember to do that? She's mad. Never, never, never cross the street without holding my hand. It took three nevers to get there, right? Because I really, really mean it. Apek. Roma ahi. Completely strip it off. Renounce. Have nothing to do with those behaviors. You have stripped them away. Nothing to do with them. I'm stripping off the human sinful nature, and I'm going to do what instead? I'm going to put on my new nature. And that word just means to clothe. And it literally means sinking into. Do you have something you love to wear? Maybe it's your old ratty jeans, you know. Maybe it's a comfortable shirt. Maybe it's, if you're a woman, maybe it's a dress you feel really good in or an outfit you really love. Maybe it's coming home and getting into your comfy clothes. Sinking into is the feeling. I'm going to sink into my new nature and wrap it around me. I'm going to wrap that new nature. I'm going to clothe. I'm going to put that on. And I'm going to be renewed. And that word renewed is a wonderful word because it means a process. Do you ever feel like you're failing because you're not there yet? Oh, good news. Me too. Me too. It's a process. Being renewed is a process that continues happening. It's moving from one stage to a higher one. And this word is only used two times in the Bible, both times by Paul, and both times to refer to God in the process of ever transforming his believers. I'm going to be renewed. It's a process. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. Did we fail? Oh, good news. You're in the process. It's a process. And how's that process going to happen? As you learn to know your Creator. Know. Learn to know. The word means to recognize, to discern, to intuit. To have some perception directed toward a particular point. As I learn to recognize my Creator, as I learn to discern what my Savior wants, as I know Him so well, you kind of intuit that. Do you have a friend like that or a spouse like that that you can just give each other the look and you know exactly what the other person's thinking? I don't mean the look, like, you know, the bad look. I don't mean that one. That's the other look. Yeah, not that look. But you learn to intuit what that person likes because you love them, because you've gotten to know them. And that's what God wants us to do, get to know Him so well that you can intuit how He feels about your behavior, about something that's happening. As you learn to know Him and become like Him, and be like is the word ikone. It means a mirror-like representation. A high-def projection. exactly reflecting the source. Not merely resembling, instead replicating. How many of you have the 4K Ultra High D High Def TV? You watch that now, and now you can see all the actresses' flaws. You don't feel so bad, do you? Ooh, they get pimples just like me. Oh, wrinkles around the eyes, high def, you know. Woo! Maybe more than what you wanted to see. But that's the word, to be like our Savior, high def. An exact mirror-like image. That's our goal. Thank God it's a process, right? Because I don't know about you, but there are days when people can look at me and they are not going to say, wow, you look just like Jesus. There are days they're going to do the eyebrows up. Yeah? Okay. Because we all have those days. It's a process of being transformed. So I become more and more like my Creator. And the word is the God who forms and shapes and makes. And that word is only used to describe God. It refers to his ability to make something useful and wonderful out of something that was never there. You and I were dust. God created Adam out of dust, something useful out of nothing. That's what a creator, our creator, does. That's who I want to become more and more like. That's my goal. Paul tags on a reminder here at the end of this. It doesn't matter who you are, and there are no exceptions. If you believe in Christ, if you accepted him as your Savior, we're all level at the foot of the cross. And we don't have backgrounds that separate us. And I don't get to use my background as an excuse. I'm Irish. We have a temper, us Irish. So, moving on, right? At the foot of the cross, it's level ground. And instead of looking at you and making rules for you to follow and guidelines that will make us all feel safer and holier, what Paul wants me to do is to turn that view inside me and look and say, are these behaviors that I need to address? Am I feeding the right dog? Am I depriving this area of life energizing power? And instead, am I sinking into wrapping myself around that new nature, just pulling it around me? Paul writes that when we accept Christ as our Savior, we are clothed in his righteousness. That new nature that you wear, that you sink into and wrap around you, is Christ's nature. It's Jesus himself that wraps around us. It's his righteousness. And God never sees me, hallelujah, praise the Lord, without that holy robe of righteousness that I have only because I'm connected with Christ. That's how God sees me. That's my Creator. That's who I want to get to know better. I'm going to intuit. I don't have to follow 10 rules. I don't have to follow 600 rules like the Jews did. But I'm going to get to know my Savior so well that the way I act resembles and replicates him and brings him glory. Pray with me. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us alone and floundering. You give us everything we need to become more and more like you. We have your scriptures. We have each other. We have the world around us, the beauty that you've created to look at and remind us of how much you love us. Lord, thank you for those blessings. We are so grateful for them. We're grateful for your son and his death that gave us this salvation. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Would you be standing, please? I pray that this week will give you insight and clarity as you seek to put off the old and put on the new, looking inside yourself with God's grace. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That's what I'm doing.